faith in action. I want us, we could just take a moment, just give the Lord a hand clap for everything he's done these last couple months. Could we just give the Lord a hand clap? Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I'm having a difficult time regaining my voice to full strength. Say a prayer for me if you would. But I'm probably just going to do more talking today, if that's all right. We understand that the Word is anointed. The Word of God is anointed. I just want to talk to us today. From time to time, whether it's a Power Sunday, a Holy Ghost service, healing and deliverance service, whatever the case might be, you might have heard me say publicly that I was going to pray the prayer of faith. How many's ever heard me say something along those lines? And when the time was right and when I felt a release of the Holy Ghost to do so, I would pray something along these lines. I would say, upon the authority of the Word of God and by the power of the name Jesus. And then I would proceed to pray specifically for whatever that thing was that God directed me to pray for, whether it was a release of his spirit for individuals to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, or the release of the gift of faith, the working of miracles, whatever the case might be. And I would speak those things after saying, upon the authority of the Word of God and by the power of the name Jesus. And I feel to explain that today in hopes that it will maybe give all of us some further clarity, some further insight, some further understanding about all of this faith in action stuff that God's been talking to us about. Somebody said amen. Amen. I want to turn your attention to the Word of the Lord this morning. We're in James chapter 5 and verse 14. James chapter 5 and verse 14. The Word of the Lord speaks to us, and it says, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Now watch verse 15. "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another, that ye may be healed." Why? Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man produces or availeth much. Somebody say prayer of faith. "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick." Now, what I want you to see is that these verses do not give us an actual prayer formula for what we would know to be the prayer of faith. Okay? It doesn't say, pray this prayer because this is the prayer of faith. So there is no one specific prayer that everyone has to pray in order to align themselves up with God's command for his believers to pray the prayer of faith. For when it speaks of the prayer of faith, it is simply talking to us about believers praying with faith. It's not a specific prayer. It's just talking about a prayer the believers are praying with faith. No matter the words that are used, no matter what the prayer might be, no matter what is spoken, no matter what leaves their lips, it's the important thing is that they're praying with faith, a prayer of faith. Somebody said amen. Amen. So then why is it that I, along with many others, pray such a similar prayer by saying, upon the authority of the Word of God and by the power of the name Jesus. Now, you go to different conferences or camps or different things and different preachers and different services and different moves of God. If you've been around much of that, you would understand that when I say I'm going to pray the prayer of faith and I say the authority of the word of God and the power of the name Jesus, it is something that other people say as well. So why is it that others along with me say a specific prayer if God says you don't need to say there's not one specific prayer that you have to pray? So why is it that I say it? Here's my answer to that question. If we are going to witness what God says we can witness, and if we're going to see what God says we can see, there are two understandings and there are two revelations that we must have embedded in the very bedrock of our spiritual being when we pray. The first understanding that we must have solidified and strong in our spirit when we pray is that our foundation for praying and our foundation for believing rests solely and utterly on the authority of the Word of God. Somebody said amen. And the second thing we must know beyond a shadow of a doubt when we pray is that there is great power in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. For if we do not believe either one of those two things, then we will never be able to accomplish through prayer what God has promised us that we could accomplish. If we do not have great revelation of those two bedrock principles, then we are never, ever going to operate in the apostolic dimension of faith that He desires for us to operate in. So that is why many times, not all the time, but many times when I go to pray for someone, whether it be collectively over an altar service or individually to one individual in the altar itself, that's why many times I will pray, and when I understand the direction of the Holy Ghost leading me to pray for a certain thing, or when I hear them ask me to pray for a certain thing, that's why I will begin the prayer by saying, by the authority of the Word of God and by the power of the name Jesus. Why? Because I want to remind myself and I want to vocalize to that sickness that I might be praying against that I am not standing in this place of prayer on my own authority, but rather I am standing on the authority of this book that we call the Bible. Somebody shout amen. Amen. When coming up against maybe a demonic force, a presence that is controlling an individual, I want to encourage myself in the fact, and I want hell to tremble at the fact that I am not coming against him in the power of mine own name, but I am coming against him by the power of the name of Jesus Christ. And for me as well as others, I begin the prayer with those words, and it allows me to walk in that realm of great faith and boldness to believe that whatever I pray is absolutely going to come to pass by the authority of the Word of God and by the power of the name Jesus. And then I proceed to pray against or pray for whatever that thing might be. And when I speak those words, it connects with something in me. There is something when I say those words, it brings up all of the teaching I've ever heard about the word of God and about the power of the name Jesus. When I speak those words, it just brings up from the depths of my spirit an understanding of how great this book is and how wonderful the word of God is and how great the name of Jesus is. So that when I say authority of the word of God and the power of the name Jesus, there is an infusion of faith like a bolt of electricity that flows through my body, knowing and believing. And when I speak that, whatever I say next has got to come to pass. Come on, put your hands together. Give God praise. So this book does not tell us that we have to pray those exact words. But in whatever way you choose to pray, it is absolutely vital that you have a great understanding of the fact that the power of your prayer has to rest upon the authority of the word of God and the power of the name Jesus. I simply say it because it gets me there quick. So in this first part of our service, and I gotta teach fast. You ready? Buckle up. I'd like for us to look at the fact that we can pray bold prayers. Somebody say bold prayers. Because we believe that the authority of God's word will back those prayers up. Watch this. Immediately after James talks to us about the prayer of faith, the text that we read at the beginning of the message, and about the fact that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much or produces much. Immediately after that, he then proceeds to give us a biblical example of what he's talking about. The people that he's writing to, he gives them a biblical example of what he's talking about. For he says, very next few verses, James chapter 5 and verse 17. He's still talking about the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then he gets to verse 17 and he says, Elias, he's talking about Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, remember, when James was writing this, there was no such thing as the New Testament. They were living the New Testament. So when he's trying to impart to the early church the miraculous power of prayer, he takes them back to the word of the Lord as they knew it, which was the Old Testament. And it is here in the word of the Lord that he shows them and that he reminds them that Elijah was a man just like the rest of us, but he knew how to pray in faith. And his faith-filled prayers literally, get this, literally had the power to cause it to stop raining for 3.5 years. A man of faith prayed in the will of God and stopped the rain for 3.5 years. Then he prays and it rains. Somebody said amen. I want you first off to just understand the power of your prayers. We have to understand how powerful our prayers are. But the thing I want you to notice is that in order to get the people that he's writing to, the churches here, in order to get them to have the faith to believe that God would answer their prayers also, and that their prayers would have that kind of power, he took them to the Word of God. He said, I want you to remember, I want to bring you back to the word of the Lord, something that you know is God's word. I want to bring you there in order that you might have an understanding of the power you possess in prayer. When they saw others in the Word of God experiencing the miraculous things and the supernatural dimensions of God's presence through prayer, then they also believed that their prayers could produce great things as well. Why? Because they had an understanding of the authority of God's Word. And if God's Word showed them that they could do it, then they were going to do it. And they did it. God's word showed them through the life of Elijah that their prayers also could be powerful. And so they stepped out in faith upon the authority of the Word of God, which was to them the Old Testament. And they operated, the New Testament church operated in a realm of the miraculous because of the power of their prayers. Somebody said amen. The authority to do what they were doing came from the word of the Lord. And that same word gives us the authority to continue doing and even in greater ways do what he's called us to do. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody good today? Amen. The book says this, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Somebody say the word. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Faith in the word of the Lord. Now watch verse 16. Why? Because all scripture. Somebody say all scripture. Not a part of scripture. Not a portion of scripture. Not some of scripture. But all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, that phrase inspiration of God, it literally means divinely breathed by God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. My friend, you got to get this. This is important. That's letting us know that this book was not written by the inspiration of man. For if it was written by the inspiration of man, the ability of man, the creativity of man, then it would be subject to the faults and the frailties of man. But this book is God breathed. This book is God inspired. This book is God written. And if God is the author of this book, which he is, then the authority of all that he has written rests solely upon him. If he wrote it, then the authority of everything that he wrote rests upon him. Again, the book says this, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy, the word of God, came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. When it says that those men wrote this book called the Bible as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost, it is using the analogy, the phrase that is used there is speaking of how a boat without a, you know, back then they didn't have propellers and motors and all this kind of stuff. They didn't have all that stuff. It's what he's speaking of there is how a boat on the water is moved only by the wind. The boat has no ability to move itself. It is completely dependent upon the wind to transport it through the waters. Oh, hallelujah. So this verse is letting us know yet again that this book called the Bible was not guided by the will of man. It was not directed by the minds of men. It was not founded in the hearts of men. But this book was totally and completely guided and authored by God himself. And therefore, every verse in this book is backed up by the authority of the one who wrote it. If a man would have written this book, then it would have been subject to man's authority, which would leave us with great questions and great uncertainty. For if this book, if the promises in this book, if it was written by man, we wouldn't really know, can we do these things? Should I really live my life the way the book says I should live my life? Should I really do what it says? If it was just written by a man, what if he was having a bad day? What if he had just had an argument with his wife? What if he was going, you know, through a rough time? What if he was dealing with some sort of depression or this or that? Or what if somebody gave him wrong advice and he's just copying down what somebody told him to do? And it's not even good advice. And so we would have questions and we would have uncertainty. But because God wrote it. Ooh, hallelujah. Because God wrote it, we can rest upon the authority of the Word of God. Because God wrote it, we can rest upon that fact when the book says in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should do anything to have to repent for. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Everything this book says is absolutely true. It is absolutely right, and it is absolutely factual, because the one who authored it cannot lie. Oh, hallelujah. The one who authored this book cannot lie. Therefore, if it is true, which it is, then we can stand on the authority of that truth. We can stand upon the authority of that verse, or those verses. We can stand upon the authority of the Word of God and proclaim everything this book says we can proclaim. Somebody said amen. The authority of the Word of God. For instance, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, we talked about this in our series, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Get this. Get this. Understand this. God is the one who authored that verse. And therefore, we can rest upon the authority of the Word of God while operating in the dimension that that verse is calling us to operate in. Because I know that this book was written by God, written by the authority of God Almighty, then I should have great faith in the fact that I have the power to cast out unclean spirits and the power to heal all manner of sickness and disease. And if we're not operating in it, I wonder if it's because we don't truly believe the authority of God's word. That we just look at it as a book. We just look at it as something we bring to the house of God. It's just something that we rest on a shelf somewhere and blow the dust off every once in a while. Somebody needs to get an understanding today of the authority of the Word of God. John chapter 1 and verse 1. Ready? In the beginning was the Word. Somebody say the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hear me. You cannot separate the Word from God, because the Word is God. And if God has all authority, then His Word has all authority. And if His Word has all authority, then when we're being obedient to what the Word tells us to do, we can do so with an understanding that we are being backed up by the authority of God Himself. Come on, put your hands together. Give God praise. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. When we're being obedient to the Word, you have to understand that God is backing us up. The authority of the Word of God. When you step out on that verse in faith, when you begin to operate in obedience to whatever that verse is, understand, you're not out there by yourself. You are operating under the authority of the Word of God. See, that's why the book says in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Do you see how much authority the Word of God has? Heaven and earth, as we know it, will pass away. But there's too much authority resting upon this book. It does not go the way earth goes. It does not go the way the heavens go, because it is operating under an altogether different set of authority. It is the authority of God Himself. God himself cannot change. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I tell somebody that his word, if it worked in the book of Acts, it's got to work in today. If it worked back then, it's going to work today. This is not some antiquated, outdated book of a bunch of old dead people that is meaningless and irrelevant to our life. No, sir. No, ma'am. But resting upon that book is an authority. There is an authority that rests upon that book, that when you and I pick it up and when you and I begin to operate and become obedient and do what it tells us to do, we are not doing it in and of our own authority, but we are doing it under the authority of the Word of God that is backed up by all of God and all of heaven. Oh, somebody shout amen. Yes. This is more than just a book. Standing upon the authority of the Word of God. See, that's why I say that when I go to pray, because that feeling that we're feeling right now, when I say the authority of the Word of God, that comes rushing. Comes rushing forth from my spirit and my soul and my intellect and my knowledge of who God is and the Word of God. When I say those simple words, you can find some other way to say it, but get something that reminds you. Get something that causes your understanding of the authority of God's Word to come bursting forth in you, and let your faith rise to the occasion. Ooh. Oh, hallelujah. The book says, the Word of God says, Philippians 4:13. I, not somebody else, not just the pastors, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Doesn't say I can do some things. Doesn't say I can do most things. It says I can do all things. And when you step out on that verse, you are stepping on to the authority of the Word of God. Mark chapter 11 and verse 23 says, for verily I say unto you, that whatsoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You see, the reason why we're not seeing more of the apostolic dimension is because we don't step out on these type of verses with an understanding that we're stepping out on the authority of the Word of God. We can speak to mountains. Mark chapter 10 and verse 27. And Jesus, looking up upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. I want somebody, if you don't get anything else today, I want somebody to step out on that verse with an understanding that the authority of God rests upon that verse. I want somebody who's even right now dealing with situations that seem impossible to you. I want you to begin to get revelation in your spirit that if you would step out on that verse with that understanding that with God all things are possible, you could begin to proclaim that, and you could begin to have the faith for that, and you could begin to believe that God is is going to make a way even where it looks like it is absolutely impossible. I want somebody to understand that's more than just words on a page. I want somebody to get it, that it's more than just a verse in a book somewhere. I want somebody to understand that attached to that verse is the authority of all of who God is. And then start acting like it. I want us to get an understanding of the authority of God's word and then start acting like it. Woo. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Walking down, beat down all the time. Walking down, discouraged all the time. Walking down, depressed all the time. Walking down, saying, I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to give in. Walking around, saying, well, I know I'm a saint of God. I know I'm filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. But I'm just going to have to allow this thing in my life. It's always been here. It's always going to be here. I got all this junk in my life. I can't defeat it. I can't overcome it. Come on. You got to stand upon the word of God and understand it's not your authority. You're standing upon the authority of the word of God. Pastor didn't say it. Your brothers or sisters didn't tell you to do it. God said, God said, God said, with him all things are possible. You know what that means? That means he can turn your situation around. You know what that means? That means he can make a way where there seems to be no way. You know what that means? That means your husband can be saved. Your wife can be saved. Your child can. But you gotta get it. You gotta start acting like it. But you're never gonna step out in faith to proclaim bold prayers unless you first understand you're not standing in your own authority. You are standing in the authority of the word of God. Come on, put your hands together, give him praise now. Oh. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how dark it is. I don't care how big the storm is. I don't care how big the problem is. You got to stand out the authority. Start standing on the authority of God's word. Why? Because it looks big to you, but it doesn't look big to God. It looks dark to you, but it doesn't look dark to God. It looks hopeless to you, but it doesn't look hopeless to God. And God is the Word, and the Word is God. So start standing upon the authority of Him. Philippians, you may be seated. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall... supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Somebody needs to step out on that verse and understand you're stepping on the authority. Not going to happen. We don't have enough. Too bleak. Too barren. Too much going out, not enough coming in. Don't know how it's going to work. Don't know how it's going to happen. Don't see any way. My God shall. Again, can I say, it doesn't say he did. He might supply it. He might not do it when you think he ought to do it, but he's going to do it. Because it is impossible for him not to do it. Because if he didn't do it, he would be a liar, and he cannot lie. You are standing on the authority. My God. God shall. How's he going to do it? I have no idea. But I'm standing upon the authority of the word of God, and I'm going to pray bold prayers, and I'm going to speak things in faith, and I'm going to proclaim those things which are not as though they already were. Well, how are you going to do that? And why are you going to do that? If it was me all by myself, I wouldn't do it. But I'm not all by myself. It's not my authority that I'm speaking in faith. I'm standing on the authority of the word of God, and his word says that he shall supply all my needs. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Can I tell somebody what you're praying? I'm feeling the Holy Ghost to prophesy to somebody right now that what you're praying right now, God is about to reveal this verse to you. He's about to show you this. He's about to show you what you've been praying for. I'm going to give you something that you didn't even pray for. I'm going to give you something above and beyond anything you ever asked for. You were just asking in what you thought. You were just asking by what your mind could conceive. But God's even right now about to prove to somebody, if you'll stand on the authority of my word, I'll do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or even think. If there's anybody in this house that believes that, I want you to shout unto God with a voice of triumph. John 14:13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Who is it in this room who's going to get out of the darkness of your dilemma and step on the authority of the word of God and start asking things in the name that is above all names, trusting and believing that God will do whatever you ask him to do. Lift your hands in the presence of God right now. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. This is not me making those claims. We are standing upon the authority of the word of God. His word. His word. His word. I'm not even half done, but stand to your feet right now. Stand to your feet right now. Lift your hands in the presence of the Lord. Ooh, I feel faith in this house. 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 He's waiting for somebody to step out in faith on his word. The devil's been lying to you. The devil's been lying to you. It's not going to happen. It's not. I know the book says it, but it's not going to happen. I know the Bible says it, but it's just a book. It's just pages. It's just words on a page. No, sir. No, ma'am. That book is backed up by all of who God is, and he has all power in heaven and in earth. You need to stand on the authority of the word of God and start believing, start speaking, start proclaiming. God, your word says no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Your word says that. I'm going to stand up on that word right now, trusting that it's the authority of you that spoke it, and I'm going to believe that every attack that is coming against me is going to be defended. I believe nothing that the enemy is trying to do in me is going to work. I stand in faith. By the authority of the word of God. Listen, just stay where you are for one moment. Just stay for you where you are. One more thing. I'm going to skip a bunch and get to this point right here because I feel to tell somebody this. Watch this. Mark chapter 6 and verse 45. Let me just read you the story real quick. And straightway he, Jesus, constrained his disciples to get into the ship. He said, get into the boat. And it says, and go to the other side. Somebody say the other side. Before unto Bethsaida. While he sent away the people. Verse 46. And when he had sent them away, he departed into the mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship that the disciples were in the middle of the sea. And he alone, Jesus alone, was on the land. Verse 48. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea. Now watch what it says. And would have passed them by. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and they were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed at themselves beyond measure and wondered. Now here's the deal, Sister Vera. I've read that and I thought, Jesus was kind of rude. They're in a boat. Storm. They think they're about to die. And Jesus was just going to pass them right on by, Brother Tad. They were in the middle of the storm, rowing with all of their might, giving everything they got just to survive, thinking this is it. And the Bible says when they're going through this storm, Jesus shows up and then passes them by, or was going to pass them by. Brother Ron, doesn't make much sense to me. And I was wondering, why would you pass them by? Why wouldn't you stop to help them? They're about to die. Until I remembered the first part of the story. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side. The reason why Jesus was going to pass them by in order to get to the other side, because he had already spoken his word that they were going to get to the other side. He said, get in the boat, go to the other side. You might have some storms, you might have some things hit you, but my word has already been spoken over you, and my word has already said you're going to make it, you're going to get to the other side. Hear me. And once he speaks his word, there's no storm that can keep it from happening. And And God is trying to get us as a church to the place as believers where we get such a revelation of the authority of God's word that we know that when he tells us he's going to do it, he's going to do it. When he says you can do it, we can do it. When he says I'm able, we believe he's able, and we can have a complete assurance that there is absolutely nothing that can keep it from happening. If he said all your needs shall be supplied, we've got to stand on the authority of the word of God and trust and know that if his word said it, there's no devil in hell that can stop it. There's no body in this world that can stop it. There's not a governmental system. There's not a president. There's not a governor. There's not a lawyer. There's not a judge. There's not a doctor. There's nobody in this world can stop what the word of God has already proclaimed. Oh, he's gonna make a way. He's gonna make a way. He's gonna make a way. And you've got to stand upon the authority of the word. Complete confidence. Complete confidence. And just because he doesn't do it when you want him to do it, doesn't mean he's not gonna do it. Stop letting hell destroy your faith. Stop letting hell lie to you and keep you from a complete trust in the authority of God's word. Well, I know his word says it, but I know he says it. I know the book says it, but I just don't know, and it hasn't happened, and it's not. I'm still got the pain, and we still got the problem, and we still got the issue. What are you doing? What are you doing? You are backing away from the authority of God's word. You need to get back up on that book. You need to once again, God, I'm going to stand right here on the authority of this verse that you gave me, this promise that you gave me. I don't care what comes. I don't care what goes. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what the darkness is. I don't care what happens. I don't care what's going on my left or my right or in front of me. Or I don't care. I am standing. I got a death grip on that promise. I got a death grip on that verse. And I'm not leaving because I know it's more than just words on a page. It is the authority of God Almighty. And if he said it, he's going to do it. It might not be when I think, but he's going to do it. He's going to do it. I'm going to stay there, and I'm going to keep proclaiming it in faith, and I'm going to keep being bold in the spirit, and I'm going to stop talking all these negative things. Power of life and death is in the tongue. I'm going to stop speaking death. I'm going to stop speaking destruction. I'm going to stop speaking negativity. Well, I just don't know how he's going to do it. I just don't know if it's ever going to get done. I prayed, and I fasted, and I've done this, and I've read the Bible through frontwards and backwards, and it still hasn't happened, and it still hasn't done. Negative, 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 and you wonder why negativity rules in your life. Come on. Stand on the authority of the word of the Lord. Stand on the authority of the word of God, and start speaking faith, and start speaking bold prayers. Lift your hands. I gotta stop. Lift your hands. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Lift your hands. Oh. Oh. Sandoro Bokoya. Hia ya hala Bokoya laba Sandoro Bokoya. Hia ya la Bokoya ndaraba sakala la Bosia. Hear me, one thing. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to get one thing, one promise. I don't want you to get 47 different things. I want you to get one promise from God that relates to the situation and the issues that you're facing. One promise, one verse. One verse. I want you to lift your hands. And listen, here's what I want you to see. And I don't know how you, in my mind's eye, I can do this. And I think we all can. I want you to literally see yourself standing on that promise. But here, when you go to step on that promise, I don't want you to picture it as some flimsy little broken thing. I want you to picture rock, a mountain that represents your promise. And you are standing on that promise that cannot crumble in the face of present day circumstances. Lift your hands now. It might take you a moment before you can get there. Salabo koyalabasi.